You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 7th of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I did have more transgender news that I could have brought you today, but we covered that so much last week. It's just in the news all the time, so I thought we'd have a break from that. Maybe we will cover one of those articles at the end of the week with Grandpa Lampshade, but the first article that I have here today concerns a children's charity that is supposed to be looking out for deprived children, regardless of what race they are or what religion they are, and yet they appear to be discriminating against white children here. Britain's biggest children's charity was at the centre of a storm last night after it suggested parents and grandparents should teach children about white privilege. Barnardo's was reported to the official charity regulator after Tory MPs claimed that its political activism could be incompatible with its charitable status. Just think about this. Barnardo's, in case listeners weren't aware, is a children's charity that looks after poor children, children that have been abused, beaten up, come from families that are unable to look after them, and they foster these children out. And you imagine if you're a white foster child and you're having a really hard time of it and you've been fostered out by Barnardo's, and then you see these posters saying that you've got white privilege, and you see this advice saying that parents and grandparents should be teaching children about white privilege. They should be teaching white children that they are somehow privileged. And you imagine that if you've lost your parents and you're being told that you're privileged by the very people that are supposed to be looking after you. I mean, this is neglect. This is abuse of white children. We've also been told by the government that it's illegal for the schools to be teaching this without context. And yet here we have a supposed charity that is promoting this wicked, wicked idea that white people only have what we have because we're somehow privileged. We have what we have because our ancestors scrimped and saved and worked their knuckles to the bone to provide for us. That's why we have what we have. You can't say that in Britain that anything here is built upon slavery. We never had slaves in Britain. What we have in our country that is so wanted by the Third World was provided by hard work of our ancestors, and paid for in the blood of our ancestors. So many of them died and were maimed either during wars or during the Industrial Revolution. A lot of our people were taken as indentured servants and taken to America. We still have extreme levels of poverty within the country, and white children are the most overlooked as far as education is concerned. And yet, according to this children's charity that is supposed to be putting the needs of children first, it's privilege. White children are privileged to be poor and to have no parents. The attack from the Tory MPs included ex-Tory Cabinet Minister Esther McVeigh, who herself spent 4 years in a Barnardo's home. She told the Sunday Telegraph she was deeply troubled by the charity's guidance, saying it was a misguided and misjudged move away from what the charity is about and what it ought to be doing. These charities aren't supposed to be concerned about what race somebody is. And this is what is so pernicious about all of this. They claim to be doing it to somehow make society more equal. But what they are doing is discriminating against whites, attacking white people simply for being white, to use their terminology, simply because of the colour of their skin. And apparently this is quite acceptable to do because it's impossible to be racist against whites. Well, if we have to defer to blacks and minority ethnics when they determine that something is racist, then surely we should be able to determine when something is anti-white. If we're all equal under the law, then when we say something is anti-white, then that should be investigated. This charity is an anti-white charity. I hope none of our listeners will be donating to this charity. There's more and more of these charities that are coming out with anti-white hatred. It's not just Bernardo's. The intervention by the Tory MPs comes after Equalities Minister Kemi Badenoch said in October that teaching children about white privilege and their inherited racial guilt could be breaking the law. She didn't say it could be breaking the law. She said it was breaking the law. And no schools should be teaching about Black Lives Matter. And despite that, the schools are teaching Black Lives Matter. And of course, they come out with their excuse of, well, you're only going to be against Black Lives Matter if you support racism. That's not true. Black Lives Matter are a political organization. They wish to get rid of capitalism. They wish to defund the police. And their way of dealing with racism is to be anti-white. Their way of dealing with racism is to promote the idea of white privilege and white guilt and instill white guilt into white children. It's basically, if they're going to say that they were treated wrongly by whites doing that, and I don't think whites were doing that to them, how can they then say it's right to then treat white children and white people in the same way? Two wrongs don't make a right. You don't make everybody equal by taking from one group and giving it to the other. You make everybody equal by making everybody equal under the law. And quite clearly, we're not equal under the law any longer, because we're now being told that we are supposed to be seeing colour. We are supposed to be making exceptions for people that are of a different colour. Whereas we've always been told before that we shouldn't be seeing colour. We should be completely colourblind and we should just be accepting people on their abilities and on their good points, which is, I would suggest, is the correct way of doing things. We shouldn't be looking at people and judging them by their colour. We should be judging them by the way that they are. And of course, that's what we do as nationalists. We study the group behaviour of the different groups that we have within humanity. And we suggest that a lot of the problems that we see, the problem areas, are not caused by white people oppressing these other peoples. It's just that they're naturally like that. That sort of behaviour just comes naturally to them because they are different to us. The fact they have a different colour of the skin is the least of the differences about these other races. The important differences in these other races that cause so many social problems when we're all mixed in together. You can't have a one policy fits all when you've got different peoples that are living together. You can only have a one policy fits all when it's for one particular type of people. Imagine if you had, cats, dogs and rabbits all living in the same area. You wouldn't be able to just deal with them all in the same way, would you? The rabbits would be able to dig their way out of the run. The dogs would be eating the rabbits. The cats would be fighting with the dogs. The only way to deal with that would be to keep them all separate. And then you could have separate protocols to deal with each particular type of mammal. And that's what we need in modern society. We need to have the different races, the different ethnicities. They need to be separated. And there would be no concept of white guilt, white privilege, or racism. There could be no accusations of racism. Nobody suggests this sensible idea of how we should be dealing with racism. We're told that there is only one way to deal with racism, and that is to attack white people for being white, which is exactly what this Bernardo's group is doing. The charity hit back yesterday with Vice President Dr. David Bernardo saying the organisation could not be colourblind and that black, Asian and minority ethnic children face additional challenges. What are these additional challenges that they face? It's white children that are the least likely, white working class children that are the least likely to go on to further education. What they mean by these additional challenges here is black, Asian and minority ethnic children are more likely to be stopped by the police, or they are more likely to be in prison, or they are less likely to do well at school. And the reasons for that is not because white people are privileged and they don't get picked on by the police. The reason for this is because black, Asian and minority ethnic children are different children. They're from different races. They are different ethnicities. The answer to all of this is in the name for them. They are black, Asian and minority ethnic. They're three different particular types of human being. And each type is going to be facing different challenges, and white people are going to be facing different challenges as well. It's not like we have a different world that we inhabit. If white people break the law, then they're going to be stopped more often by the police. And you could say that the different races, they do have different talents. I mean, blacks are far faster at sprinting, they're far better at basketball, and nobody would accuse anybody of being racist for saying that. But then if you say, well, whites are going to be better at chess, whites are going to be better at designing space programs, then you're going to be accused of being racist. But it's all just evidence of the diversity that there is within humanity, the differences between the races. And if we want to be equal, we should be colorblind, and everybody should be equal under the law. And yet this vice president of this charity says, oh, no, you shouldn't be like that. We cannot be colorblind because black, Asian and minorities, they face these additional challenges. Well, if they're living in a different country to their ethnic homeland, of course there should be additional challenges, different additional challenges like learning the language of the country that you are living in. If white people were to move to a different country that was the homeland of a different ethnicity, they would be facing these additional challenges as well. They would have the challenge of not understanding the language of the country that they went to. They wouldn't be expecting to have interpreters provided for them by the state so that their children could go to school. They would understand that they would have to pay for those added extras, and they would expect to have these challenges. How come ethnic minorities come to Britain and not expect to have to face challenges, additional challenges, when they're in essentially somebody else's country? And the fact that they do expect all of this is because they're encouraged to by the mainstream media. I'm fairly certain of the fact that they wouldn't expect it if they hadn't been told to expect it. And they understand very well that they are much better off in white countries than they are in their own homelands. That's why they leave their own homelands to come to our countries. It's not privilege that has made our countries into what they are. It's hard work. The row centres on new guidance from Bernardo's, entitled White Privilege, A Guide for Parents. I mean, who do these people think they are that they can tell parents how they should be bringing their children up, trying to tell them what's right and wrong, trying to tell them that it's right to instill a sense of guilt into white people for the failings of non-whites? Why can't people stand on their own two feet? Why can't people admit that if they make the wrong life choices, then they're going to mess their lives up? That's what's at the root of this. The ethnic minorities do not want to take responsibility for their actions. Particularly blacks, who don't want to take responsibility for the fact that they are much more likely to be involved in violent crime than white people are. As we showed in the episode last week, they're at least 10 times more likely to be murder suspects than white people are. And it's probably a lot more than 10 times as many. And they're also 10 times as likely to be murdered by other blacks. So that tells us that they're far more likely to be involved in crime. And we cannot blame white people for this. But that is what Barnardo's are saying here. They're saying what the only reason why white people aren't wanted for murder as much as blacks is because whites are privileged. And it's because whites are racist towards blacks. We're not racist towards blacks. Nationalists aren't racist towards blacks. We're just realists. We just talk about anthropology and we talk about the realities of the differences between the races. And we advocate for social policy to be based upon these anthropological realities rather than based on a fantasy that all the problems of the other races are down to white people. Because in actual fact, it's the opposite of that. Everything that we have, that we are thankful for, that the fruits of civilization have brought us, 99% of that has been created by whites. And we shared it with the rest of the world. I personally don't believe we should have done. But we did. We shared it with the rest of the world, and we received no gratitude for that whatsoever. Whatsoever. Posted online a few weeks ago. The guide says, we believe educating children about white privilege is a part of teaching them about the world, and so is talking to them about how to be actively anti-racist. And what they mean by being actively anti-racist is advocating for these other groups. Do these other groups advocate for whites? No, these other groups advocate for themselves, and that is what is going on here. Advocacy for these other groups at the expense of whites. And we're being told that that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be advocating for our own people. We should be advocating for other peoples, as if these other peoples are not capable of advocating for themselves. They're very good at advocating for themselves, as we see here, because they have a charity that was started by a white man that is advocating for them instead of advocating for the white children. It adds, you might have heard the phrase white privilege before. It is very common across the pond in the United States. You might also think that it doesn't exist in the UK, but racism is very real here too. And of course, it's been banned in America. Donald Trump has banned this critical race theory and the teaching of white privilege, this idea that there is an inherited racial guilt of white people and we must be prostrating ourselves before the non-whites and beating ourselves up over essentially their failings. I mean, we really need to bring some home truths in here. The reason why blacks were enslaved is because they were enslaved by other blacks and they were sold to whites. It's not whites that went over there and hunted down blacks and stole them away from their country and took them to another country. It was their own countrymen that sold them because that was their commodity. That's what the economy in Africa was built upon. That's just the way things were. That was the system of employment back then. But we're supposed to feel guilty about that now, 300 years later. But the blacks themselves aren't supposed to feel guilty about selling themselves like that. And I suggest they shouldn't feel guilty about it, but neither should white people feel guilty about it. That was just the system of employment that we had before we had the system of employment now, where you get paid a certain amount of money and you're the one that goes out and spends that money on what you want to spend it on. You have a choice of how to spend your money. And most of the time we end up getting ourselves into debt because of that. Slaves never ended up in debt. They had everything paid for. They had everything provided for them. When you look at things like this and you look at the reality of it, you realize that whites have had just as hard a time of it as blacks. But we dealt with it in a different way because we are a different subspecies to them. You can look at the Chinese. You can look at the way the Chinese are very successful. And yet the Chinese are a different race. Are the Chinese persecuted against and discriminated in Britain? They're the least likely to end up in prison. They're the least likely to carry out these crimes. And yet here they are living in the same supposedly racist society as blacks. But they don't end up in prison. So it can't be that the reasons for these problems is because white people are being mean to them and white people are only good at what we do because we're privileged. It's because we work hard at what we do. More than a dozen Tory MPs, including Sir John Hayes, the chairman of the Common Sense Group at Westminster, wrote to Barnardo's chief executive, Javed Khan, warning that they have asked the Charity Commission chairman, Baroness Stowell, to investigate. whether this departure into political activism is compatible with Bernardo's noble purpose and charitable status. I don't think it is compatible with their noble purpose and charitable status, is it? Because they're discriminating against whites here. And charities shouldn't be doing this. Charities should not be getting involved in political activism. I don't understand how Hope Not Hate can claim to be a charity when all they are about is silencing their political opposition. That's all they do, is try to silence their political opposition under the disguise of fighting racism, the same as these Black Lives Matter do. And we are against racism just as much as Hope Not Hate are. We just have a different solution to it. We have a solution to it that would actually succeed. If you look at all the policies that the West has had to prevent racism and to deal with racism over the last 70 years, none of them have worked. If you do any polls today and you say, what is the level of racism? All these polls will say, oh, it's terrible, and it's still getting worse. And whatever they do to try and rebalance things out, they always say, we still have a lot more to do, we still have a lot more to go. And this is despite having probably about 50% of Boris Johnson's cabinet being non-white and Obama being elected to the president of America. It doesn't matter what you do. Ethnic minorities will still claim that there is racism in society. So all these policies and programs that the left have encouraged us to do to stop racism over the years, they've all failed. They've all failed. And yet the nationalist solution to it, which is just to segregate the races so that there are no white police for the blacks, there are no white teachers for the blacks. They have their own black teachers, their own black police. And who are they going to accuse of being racist then? There would be no racism, exactly the same as there was no racism in Britain 200 years ago. There was a black guy that came over to Britain that had been freed from slavery. And he said there was no racism in Britain. And he said there was no racism in Britain because there was no slaves in Britain. And it's not that there was no slaves in Britain, it's that there were no blacks in Britain. There was no chance for there to be any racism. If you don't have different races living together in a multicultural experiment like we have, then there can be no racism. And that is the solution that we suggest as nationalists. And yet we have the people promoting this failed solution to racism trying to silence us and refusing to allow the public to actually hear what we say. We're told that what we say is somehow hate. It's not hate. It's love. It's love for the diversity of the world and wanting to keep that diversity there and not see it ruined by interbreeding. And it's love for our own people. And as a nationalist, we advocate for other races to love their own people. We don't say it's okay for the other races to love their own, but we must feel guilty as whites. We must see ourselves as privileged and we must see ourselves as guilty for the problems that these other races have incurred. The MPs added, we were deeply saddened to discover that Bernardo's of all organisations should have allowed ideological dogma to displace the compassion and generosity which for many years Bernardo's has been known. The irrational notion that privilege or prejudice are the exclusive preserve of a particular ethnic group is as spiteful as it is silly. That's very correct. Because what they're saying here is everybody white is somehow privileged. Everybody white bears the sins of their ancestors. And it's not applied to these other groups, is it? It's not applied to blacks. They're not held accountable for their black chiefs selling them as slaves. Because all this is about attacking white people. It's not about justice. It's not about getting rid of racism. It's not about making a more equal society. It's about getting rid of white people. It's about removing the competition. That's what this is about. We have limited territory. We have limited resources on the earth, and we are all competing for that territory and those resources. We compete as people groups. And we seem to have forgotten that as white people, that we are in the middle of a competition, and we are being taught to help our competitors instead of working to help ourselves. Bernardo said in a statement last night that throughout its 154-year history, it had constantly raised awareness of the plight of the most vulnerable children in society, and that it wasn't political activism to remove barriers for the most vulnerable children. But the most vulnerable of the children are the white working class, aren't they? We've had enough studies that have now shown that, and they're not advocating for the white working class here. They are telling the white working class that they're privileged. Again, I go back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast. How must these white children that are actually being looked after by Bernardos in these foster homes, how must they feel when they hear that they're privileged, that they somehow have more privilege than the black children that are also in these homes? It added, "We certainly don't believe Britain is racist or that anyone should feel guilt about being from a particular background." But that's exactly what they are saying, isn't it? That is exactly what they're saying when they say that white people have privilege because of things that their ancestors did in the past. That is exactly what they're saying, is that Britain is inherently racist and that white people should feel guilty about that. That's the whole idea behind this white privilege thing. A spokesman for the Charity Commission last night said they would consider the complaint. Well, I'm not holding my breath for Bernardo's to be withheld money for being anti-white. And I'm not so sure that they should lose money for being anti-white. They should just be told that they can't be anti-white. They should still get the money to look after the poor underprivileged children. Another similar news article here to get into, to do with this same issue. Over the weekend, sports fans were finally allowed back into the football grounds. And of course, what we predicted would happen when they saw their football teams kneeling down before ethnic minorities, all the football fans booed, which of course we had predicted. And the whole idea of the taking a knee was in response to the national anthem. When it was first done in America, that was the whole symbology of it, is I'm refusing to stand for the national anthem, I am refusing to show my loyalty to my country, and I'm going to kneel down and do the opposite instead. That's what taking a knee means. So when these football players are taking a knee, what they are demonstrating is that their loyalty is not to their country, their loyalty is to ethnic minorities. And that is a political act, because they're saying they're not loyal to their country. And beyond that, you have Black Lives Matter, which are a political movement. They have a political party. They're calling for the abolition of capitalism. And football is not supposed to have politics in it. Of course, football has had a lot of anti-racist promotion over the last few years, in particular. But on the whole, the football supporters have just accepted that. But this Black Lives Matter thing of kneeling down before ethnic minorities has really upset them. That seems to have been the straw that broke the camel's back. A cabinet minister has branded Black Lives Matter a political movement that doesn't reflect what most of us believe, amidst a backlash over Millwall fans who booed players for taking the knee. And this is quite good, because this cabinet minister was asked about this and he appeared to be supporting the right of the football fans to make a statement that they don't support this because it is political. Never mind what the anti-racists will say, because of course every time something like this happens, they say, oh, well, you must be racist because you don't support Black Lives Matter. But it appears that this cabinet minister was saying that these football supporters have a right to show their disgust at politics in football. Environment Secretary George Eustace was asked about the extraordinary scenes during the championship match yesterday. It has prompted criticism from Gary Lineker, among others, who told his Twitter followers the Millwall fans not booing were in the minority. And this article, which is actually from the Daily Mail, all it reports on is from people criticising the Millwall supporters and saying that they must all be racist. And they have various football pundits that criticise them. It doesn't have one quote from the Millwall supporters themselves. And Twitter was full of Millwall supporters explaining why they did this. And they were saying, look, we're not racist. We're quite happy to have black football players, but we don't agree with this Marxist organization. And we do not agree with politics in football. And that's why they were booing. And you won't see that reported in the mainstream media. They will just attack them and call them all knuckle-dragging racists. Mr. Eustace was played the audio of the scenes on Sky News, and he took aim at Black Lives Matter, although he stressed that protests by individuals should be treated with respect. Obviously, the issue of race and racial discrimination is something we all take very seriously, Mr. Eustace said. My personal view is that Black Lives Matter, capital B, L and M, is actually a political movement, which is different from what most of us believe in, which is standing up for racial equality. But look, each individual can take their own choices about how they reflect this. I know a lot of people feel quite strongly and have taken that approach. And what he appears to be saying here is if you're going to allow these football players to kneel before this political movement, then you have to allow the football supporters to show that they don't support that political movement. What he's saying here is everybody has a right to make a protest. And when an individual makes that protest, he should be treated with respect. So the Millwall fans should also be treated with respect when they make a protest against this political invasion of football. But of course, they won't treat them with that respect. They will just call them racist for doing so. And I think this is going to happen all the more now that they have brought the football fans back into the football matches. And really, they've overdone things now in football with the anti-racism, and there's going to be a huge backlash against this. Black Lives Matter are quite clearly a political organisation. They have a political party. They wish to get rid of capitalism. They wish to defund the police. And the idea that this is all about trying to get rid of racism is entirely false, isn't it? Because their way of getting rid of racism is to be anti-white. It's effectively to be racist against whites. Once again, we see that the only solution to this is segregation. There would be no need for an organisation called Black Lives Matter if blacks were responsible for their own people instead of living and competing in a multicultural society. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.